Last week, as we were offering Mass here and around the world, Archbishop Vigano penned an open letter to President Trump, and I just wanted to open my sermon today by sharing the first part of that letter. So it goes like this. Mr. Trump, allow me to address you at this hour in which the fate of the whole world is being threatened by a global conspiracy against God and humanity. I write to you as an archbishop, as a successor of the apostles, as the former apostolic nuncio to the United States of America. I'm writing to you in the midst of the silence of both civil and religious authorities. May you accept these words of mine as the voice of one crying out in the desert. As I said when I wrote my letter to you in June, this historical moment sees the forces of evil aligned in a battle without quarter against the forces of good, forces of evil that appear powerful and organized as they oppose the children of light, who are disoriented and disorganized, abandoned by their temporal and spiritual fathers. Daily, we sense the attacks multiplying of those who want to destroy the very basis of society, the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education and business. We see heads of nations and religious leaders pandering to this suicide of Western culture and its Christian soul, while the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully as an instrument to the establishment of an inhuman, faceless tyranny. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in an early stage. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201, promoting their agenda. The purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt. The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID, with the consequent contact tracing of the population of the entire world. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. Goes on from there. Again, I've said many times, I'm your shepherd, and I watch out for the wolves. And I want to make sure we're all fully aware of the threats that we face. In addition to this threat of the Great Reset, we're witnessing cities across our nation boarding up their businesses in preparation for what many believe is the inevitable post-election rioting. So what are we to do? I want to start by saying this. Whether it's a Navy SEAL or a saint, we admire those who put it all on the line. They go all in. Those who are totally dedicated to the mission. In the military, this dedication is revealed as what's called the warrior ethos. Four simple lines embedded in the soldier's creed. They are, I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. Sustained and developed through discipline, commitment, and pride, these four lines motivate every soldier to persevere and ultimately to refuse defeat. What would happen if we dedicated ourselves with the same kind of resolve as children of and missionaries of our Lord Jesus Christ? What if we had that kind of intensity? I think the time is long past for us to do the D-Day thing. We've been talking about this over the last several weeks, how important it is that we resist division. The very definition of Satan is rage and division, and we've seen it everywhere over this horrifying year. And we too are tempted to divide ourselves. But I've also followed with the place in which we unite is at the foot of the cross. It is uniting with Jesus Christ. We are all in for the truths of sacred scripture and sacred tradition. That's our place where we unite. But unite we must. I call this a D-Day thing because here's what I want to advocate on this Feast of All Saints. I want us to recall that we weren't meant to go it alone. Not even as who we are, the church militant here living on planet Earth. We were given a powerful force to be reckoned with. The communion of saints. We, the church militant here on Earth. The church penitent in purgatory. They're going to heaven. They're on their way. They're being purified. They're being made ready. They beg for our prayers. They can't assist themselves to alleviate that time. God in his wisdom wanted this kind of connection between us and the church penitent. He wanted us to be their helpmates, their battle buddies, and the church triumphant in heaven. Recently, I told the story of my grandma. She found a holy card in a hotel when I was a baby. She received in her heart that she was to pray for my vocation. Never told me. She prayed every day to St. John Neumann. And it wasn't until I was ordained a deacon, when I gave my promise of celibacy, that she felt the coast was clear. She could finally tell me. Almost 30 years of daily prayer to St. John Neumann. And she pulls out a holy card and says, this is what I've been doing. To rely on the saints for their intercession, their powerful intercession. But here's the deal. And this is the way God has set it up too. We are prone to be selfish little brats. To have everything just handed to us. I've said time and time again, God is our Father. He's a perfect Father. And so he's not instilling in us to be selfish, narcissistic little brats, where we just believe everything in the world is coming to us. It's just our right? No, what he does instead is he teaches us, forms us, to understand that through effort comes reward. And so it is with relationships. Do we just take friends for granted, loved ones? Just expect them? Or do we engage those relationships, foster them, nurture them? Of course we do. Of course we do. It's the same with the community of saints. Back in 2009, Eddie Cotter, the founder of Dead Theologian Society, asked if we could bring a speaker in here that just wrote a book. I said, sure. That would change my life forever. The speaker was Susan Tassone, who wrote a book called, I want to get the exact title. Well, here. I brought it with me. Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. She had done all kinds of research over many, many years. In this little book, she taught, this is the plan that God has. That we're called to engage the relationship. In other words, we activate the relationship when we engage them. Instead of just expecting them to do it. That's not God's way. It's not a perfect father's way. And so, very simply, we offer plenary indulgences. We gain plenary indulgences for the holy souls in purgatory. With that, they are grateful. It was, let's see, did I bring that quote with me? Well, Fulton Sheen once said, there they are, waiting for us in heaven. Grateful. And grateful for what? That we prayed for them. Okay? So that gratitude ignites the relationship, activates it. Now, those holy souls in gratitude are our prayer warriors. We engage the saints to pray with us for the holy souls. We believe in their intercession. We call out to them in their intercession, as my grandma did to St. John Neumann. And we activate the relationship. The first day I did this plan, okay, gaining a plenary indulgence for a holy soul in purgatory with relying on activating the relationship with another saint, okay, to pray for that holy soul, for that plenary indulgence, okay, I became a force of one, now a force of three. The next day, another saint, another holy soul, add two more. Now I'm a force of five. So I test drove this back around 2009. I don't know. I think something happened. Astounding divine activity. I wrote a book. I was inspired to develop the combat rosary that now sits in the pocket of every Swiss guard, protecting the Pope. I started a teaching website, Roman Catholic Man, now U.S. Grace Force. We develop what's called the Holy League, a partnership with Cardinal Burke. I was the state chaplain for the Wisconsin Knights of Columbus, and now leading over 75,000 people in the United States Grace Force. Our parish itself has been transformed. We put in this beautiful altar rail. We're offering the Mass in the high altar as it was for thousands of years. I think all of us are experiencing that wonderful and beautiful gift of fear of the Lord, of awe and wonder, that changes us completely, that sets our hearts on wanting to do everything we can to please God, first and foremost in our lives, whatever decision we make, whatever choice, whatever words we speak, will this please you, God? Divine activity was ignited. Maybe for a lot of reasons, but I think this was key among them. And so, I test drove it. I don't want to say I recommend it. And really, it's so simple. All we do, and here it is, there's what I call the big four. Now, first of all, I want to say, here we are in All Saints Day, tomorrow's All Souls, that the tradition is we can gain a plenary indulgence by visiting a cemetery, okay, and offering certain prayers. And we have the requirements for obtaining the plenary indulgence, okay? The Vatican just announced that usually that's November 1st to November 8th. Now they're opening it up to the whole month because it's COVID. So there's that. But every day we have at our disposal a way to gain a plenary indulgence. I call these the big four because these are the only ones that I'm aware of that are easily accessible to all of us on any day. Did you know you could get a plenary indulgence for spending 30 minutes or more before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration? Did you know that you could get a plenary indulgence for devoutly reading Scripture for 30 minutes or more? Or devoutly performing the Stations of the Cross, anywhere that where they are approved Stations of the Cross? And then reciting a rosary. The requirement is to do it with a family, or if that's not available, to do it in a sacred space in a church, oratory, or a religious community. There you go. A plenary indulgence. Why not activate the relationship with another saint that day? And activate the relationship with another soul in purgatory that day. Tripling who you are. Imagine that. That's why I started out by saying, it's long past time that we do the D-Day thing. This is a holy alliance, okay? An allied force. We're going in, okay? But let's do it God's way. He set this whole system up, and we're ignoring it. When we could be amazingly powerful with all of our battle buddies alongside of us, from the church penitent to the church triumphant. As we offer those prayers, they too are with us at the throne of God, offering it with us. Why don't we do this? It's why we're losing. God has offered us this force, and we're ignoring it. What are the requirements for obtaining a plenary indulgence? And these are the things that we want to do in our lives anyway. So the church uses these to give us extra encouragement to be about these things at all times anyway. So we want, it starts out, we need to be in a state of grace. Okay? We need to receive sacramental confession within 20 days. It used to be 8, they extended it to 20. Within 20 days of the plenary indulgence. What's that encouraging? Go to confession at least once a month. Right? Receive Eucharistic communion. Okay, what's that encouraging? Daily Mass. Pray for the Pope's intentions. One Our Father, one Hail Mary, glory be. What's that? Staying united with our Holy Father. And have no attachment to sin, even venial. What does that mean? I've done a lot of study and research on this. It simply means this. That we need to have what's called true resolve. So, somebody might have a repetitive sin. They go and they honestly want forgiveness for it. Please, forgive me for this. I want forgiveness. But in their heart, they know, yeah, but I'm probably going to do it tomorrow. Or the next day. They're caught in what's called a vice. There's an expression, the vice grip, right? They're caught in that vice. That vice, vice means repetitive sin. What this is asking is that there's no, you see, they're attached because they just give up and go, I'm probably going to do it anyway. There needs to be true resolve. I'm done. Okay? Without that, you still might gain a partial indulgence, which the requirements for that is do the work in a state of grace and have the general intention of earning the indulgence, okay? You're still activating the relationship too. So we shouldn't despair if we feel like we can't rise to that level to gain that plenary indulgence. That's why too, I oftentimes offer many plenary indulgences, like say for my mom. Okay, well, why would you do that? You, one, got her to heaven. You see, a plenary indulgence means all your time in purgatory is done. You, the gates of heaven open up, you're going in. Why would I offer another one? Well, because maybe My hope for a plenary remained a partial. So just in case, and that's why we repeat these over and over again. I want to show you, this is my original book. It's kind of beaten up, but inside, this is when I began test driving what I'm talking about today. That's kind of got beaten up for overuse. I took on another and built I built another book called Strength and Alliance, which actually focuses mostly on what we're talking about today. Here it touches on it as part of an overall plan. Here it is directly talking about it. And it has all the pages for putting in your prayer intentions and everything else in here. So this is my journal, and then I got this cool cover so it wouldn't go this bad that fast. Plus, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. But it helps me. See, here's what I do. You see what I'm doing right now. I pray with belief that these battle buddies are with me. And I am a force of, I don't know what I'm a force of right now. Hundreds for sure, maybe thousands of saints and holy souls. Force to be reckoned with. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the D-Day thing. Imagine all of us being a force of 1,000 each, standing against a potential great reset. I mean, their forces are coordinated. The Archbishop Vigano talked about that. They're all coordinated. They're unified while we're all scattered. And we're scattered in our diligence and zeal to activate our relationship with the holy souls and the great saints. My brothers and sisters, we need to start doing this. Yes, I've been saying over many weeks, you and I have to remain very unified and connected. I love, you're my family. I hope you feel what I feel, and I think you do. We're very connected. But the devil always wants to get in there, right? Wants to throw something in, a wrench in the works to divide us, set us off in rage. That's what he always does. He's always putting his toe in the water to see if he can destroy what's been built up. We can't let him. And so as a church militant here on earth, we need to work at that constantly. Don't take the bait of dividing us. Work at uniting us here on earth. But let's do this. Let's do this. I'm hopefully going to get an article up this afternoon that reteaches this again. I put up several because I've been an advocate for this for many years because I test drove it and it works. Okay? We need to do this. We need to be a force to be reckoned with. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, God from God.